Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. Isn't that right, one Kathy Houston?
You know it, Andy.
Kathy claimed that she wasn't in the best mood, so we're going to try to lift Kathy up with our energy here this morning. Right, Michelle?
Sure.
Michelle Bell, bringing only the best of energy that one could hope for.
You know what this week is, by the way?
I don't hear Michelle's mic. So we're wondering if Michelle's mic is on anyway.
Oh, is it on now?
Oh, yeah.
It's Can on. You guys hear me?
Yeah, oh, yeah, uh-huh. There you go.
Can you
so
hear me?
In rebuttal to Shark Week, this week is Snark Week. Sign me up.
Snark
oh,
Week.
Oh, yeah. For real?
Yes,
oh,
it is
awesome.
Snark
Are you
Week.
The originator of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were.
I think Kathy Houston's on,
mine,
on the train for Snark Week as well.
Yeah.
We're having some switching of mics, so we're going to do that. And we have Christopher Ruvo in the studio here with us this morning.
That's my fan club. I brought him.
I'm not sure what that was.
Oh, no.
It sounded like a bag of weasels.
Here. You guys are, I have them under the desk. They're my product pick for the week. I branded them.
It was interesting.
Don't call PETA.
Oh, my. Okay.
We Somebody's got energy, though. We should just
ways.
Throw the whole show to him.
We're going to go to Chris more and more and away from Kathy and Michelle,
thank you.
Who have not brought the noise here this morning. All right. We are getting ready to take your calls for the show topic, which is ways to grow your business through self-promo campaigns. So if you have any questions or comments on that topic, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, you'll get that fantastic prize pack we talk about every week, which has all sorts of ASI radio goodies plus a $25 Visa gift card. Michelle, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, I'm going to discuss whether or not you have a boss from hell. Ha.
Boss from Uh-oh. Hell.
Don't let Chris know.
This ought to be
Kathy
good.
Houston is a wonderful boss. I like everything about her. Yeah.
Chris is going to talk about how to become a better negotiator. Kathy's going to discuss tips for increasing productivity in the workplace. Chris, again, is going to talk about ways to present. What are ways that prevent people from doing business with you? There are some. I believe there are 10. Chris may only discuss a few of those, but there are actually things that you do that are stopping people from doing business with you.
Kathy probably knows a few of those.
Yes, I do.
If we have time, I'm going to talk about 5 powerful notes to write that will change your life, and of course, our favorite things. But first, we have the news with Andy in 60 seconds.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. We begin this morning with supplier acquisition news. Playing card supplier Jamaco has been acquired by public company Gaming Partners International. The transaction was completed earlier this month. Cash and bank financing to complete the deal totaled $19.75 million. Jamaco says its promotional division operations won't be impacted as a result of the deal. Top 40 news now. American Apparel last week appointed 4 new members to its board of directors, including the first woman to have a seat on the company's board. The changes came following equity firm Standard General acquiring 44% of American Apparel shares and effectively taking over the company. No word yet on whether the new owners intend to bring former CEO Dove Charney back to the company. More acquisition news now. Newell Rubbermaid, parent company of top 40 supplier Sanford Business to Business, has acquired drinkware manufacturer Ignite USA, the maker of the Contigo and Avex brands of travel mugs and water bottles. The deal is worth $308 million. Contigo branded items are sold in major retailers and in the promo market through a few different suppliers. General economic news now. Now may be a good time for distributors to start prospecting with clients in the services industry. A just-released index from research firm Market shows that activity in the U.S. services sector continued at a 4.5-year high in July. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and program today. Joe may be on the beach in North Carolina, but he has left us with a brand-new edition of his favorite show.
Thank God.
The Joe Show. Joe, who seemingly can't leave us alone while he's on vacation. He sends us pictures of himself like all day long.
Yeah, I got one today.
Does he?
He's like a short, lumpy Kardashian with a selfie. Like, why?
Plus, Plus his whole counselor attire. His whole attire.
Can you write that down?
Yeah.
His counselor.
His whole attire on vacation is counselor branded stuff. Uh-huh. It's like, dude, do you own anything besides stuff that was given to you
He'd
here?
Be naked if not for suppliers in the industry.
Short, lumpy Kardashians.
Well, if that's the case, then thank God for suppliers in the industry. Woo. All right. Before we head to the phones to take your calls regarding today's show topic, which is how to grow your business through self-promo campaigns, we are going to hear our Product Safety Minute with Leighton Lee from ETS Express. Leighton, how are you today?
Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day today out here. Anyways, I had a fleeting thought here with Michelle's snark comment. So I think, Michelle, you ought to come out with a new product called Snark Repellent.
No, we should.
She likes to attract it. So she needs some sort of snark glue.
All right,
Leighton, what's on your mind today?
We have an interesting topic. It involves a recall that was announced a couple of weeks ago. And I did mention it briefly in our PSM last week. And it's the a USB charger that experienced some overheating issues. And what's interesting about this recall is that it is by one of our own, a supplier named Jetline, and most of us know about them, and they're good people over there. They sold or distributed 31,000 power adapters. They're two-prong plugs that you plug into a wall with a USB jack that you can charge your cell phones and PDAs and other electronic products. But they experienced one incident of overheating by one consumer, and they did the right thing. They contacted the Consumer Product Safety Commission, instituted a recall without questions, and that recall was announced about a week and a half ago. Major kudos to Jetline for taking the aggressive approach and doing the right thing. It is, in my memory, the first true ASI company doing a national recall on a product. This is a groundbreaking thing to show for Jetline that they do stand behind their products and willing to do the right thing. For the rest of us out here, out in the real world, that are trying to make a buck and trying to keep our companies going and growing, this is something to think about for the future. A recall announcement does not have to be a bad thing. It is, of course, done with the right spirit to preserve safety and the health of consumers out there. Number two, it can be a brand-building exercise because goodwill can come out of a recall. So what do we as suppliers and distributors do with electronic goods and everything else that we source through our normal channels? Always try to get test reports from our suppliers and vendors. And number two, with electronic and electrical goods, always try to source UL-certified components and through UL-certified factories. So those keys alone will cut down on these types of incidents. That, my friends, is today's Product Safety Minute. You all have a great week. And beware of sharks out there, Joe, if you're out in the water.
All right, Leighton, thanks very much for the call and the insight. All right, we're going to head back to the phones right now, where we have lit up the phones, it seems, with our topic about self-promos today. It's our phones and Facebook. So let's get right to it. On line one, we have Corey. Corey, how are you today?
I'm fine. How's everybody there?
Doing good, thanks. What's your question for the host?
Well, I hope you can indulge me for a second, since you all are industry professionals. I'm kind of new to the industry myself, and I'd like to know how you're defining self-promotion. Can you kind of just explain the concept to me?
Michelle, I'm going to leave that to you. It's one of your favorite subjects.
It is. Huh? I would say in the broad sense, Corey, it can be anything that you do to raise or elevate your own brand, your company's brand with clients or prospects. So it can be something as simple as, having a client appreciation party or a barbecue. It can also be something like doing a direct mail campaign. Where you send something to clients or prospects and ask for an action to be taken. Here's a camera lid, you know, fill out this thing or get back to me and you'll get the rest of the camera, something like that, where you're asking them to do something to follow up with you. Anything, though, I mean, really at its most basic level, I would say it's anything that gets your message out there of what you do, what your company can do, and, you know, reaching a new venue.
I would also add that it tends to include the use of a promotional product to promote yourself.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to, like Michelle said, it can be any way that you're promoting or advertising your own company. When we talk self-promos on this show, we tend to try to get people to see the value of using the items that they're selling as promotional items for themselves.
Because you can propel that right into it to a sale.
That's the point.
I remember speaking with Creative Marketing Concepts out in San Francisco, and they had like this one of those like screen cleaners, little microfiber screen cleaners. They did a self promo with those, and they ended up it became one of like their hottest sellers because people were like, "This is the coolest
those
thing
are big,
ever."
Yeah,
there was like one of those ones that stick on the back of the phone too.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, so that was like huge for them.
And that happens a lot if it's done well. Not only is the promotional product the vehicle to get the message out, but often the people who receive it place an order for that specific product.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Corey, good luck to you, and hang on the line so we can get your information for your ASI Radio prize pack. Okay, let's go to line four, where we have Cheryl. Cheryl, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm calling from Colorado, and I've got a question. Is it better to do a one-shot self-promo or a series of related or not related items? And with the first guy, do you give out something that you want to sell or just something that you think is cool that other people might like?
Something that you think is cool that other people might like, because if that's the case, Cheryl, then chances are they're gonna it's gonna wow them and they're gonna place an order for it anyway. To your first question, I would say first of all, it's just do self-promotion. Everybody should do self-promotion campaigns. I'm a big proponent of it at least once a quarter. And as far as doing a tiered one, you know, that depends how much time and resources you have, because here's the key to self-promotion. You have to be prepared to follow up on it. I remember one speaker we had at an ASI show telling us a cautionary tale where he had these grandiose ideas for doing this self-promotion campaign to, you know, 500 people, and he totally did not count on the amount of follow-up he was going to have to do. You know, providing people with more information, getting out the products to them, answering their questions. So it's got to be a manageable number that you send it to. But I think doing a tiered campaign is a fine idea. So maybe start with 20 prospects that you want to reach, and maybe do, you know, three different levels of that.
Yeah, okay. I would echo that. I think any self-promotion campaign can be successful. You can do one-offs, you can do series, but the point that Michelle made to commit to them and just basically show your clients and show your prospects what promotional products can do, and those sort of like Michelle said, the cool factor can be something that people really grab onto. And like Chris was saying, you know, they used a screen cleaner and presented it in a unique way. And then people who hadn't necessarily seen that before say, wow, maybe that's something we should do. So I would say anything unique and interesting would be good.
Great. Thank you so much. Love the show.
All right,
Thank
Cheryl,
you.
Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much for the call. Thank and hang you. On the line so we can get your okay. information. Okay, let's go to line three, where we have Jill. Jill, how are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. What is your question for the hosts?
Well, I was wondering, you know, I don't have a ton of money in my budget to do self-promo campaigns, but I feel like I have a lot of creative ideas that I'd like to show off to my clients and prospects. Do you have any ideas for me for doing them inexpensively?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Go out.
Please, tell.
Go out. Jill, is that her name?
Jill.
Yeah.
Jill,
yes. Go out and walk in your nearest woods and pick up a whole bunch of sticks. This is my favorite idea, and Cliff Quixell had it. What he did was he went out, and he said when he first started out, he did not have a lot of money to do self-promo campaigns, so he went out to the woods in the back of his house and picked up all these sticks, and he went to, like, a local dollar store and got boxes and got tissue paper and put a stick in the box and mailed them out to people. And he said, if you call me, I'll give you more ideas than you can shake a stick at. Free sticks.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But what that does, Jill, is I think what you want is it will spur people to call you, and then you get to talk to them about your creative ideas. But it's really inexpensive. I mean, you can buy boxes and tissue paper at literally a dollar store.
Yeah.
And really, you'll just spend the money on postage and sticks.
Right. I think there are a lot of inexpensive self-promo ideas. And also, if you research on ESP, a lot of suppliers will give you special pricing on self-promotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to add that too. If you talk to your suppliers, your favorite suppliers that you use often, they'll definitely help you out with cost as far as self-promos are concerned. Mm-hmm. So definitely,
you know, some of them
that.
Have a budget set aside just for that.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's promoting them too.
Yep.
And just to jump back to something that you had said before, Michelle, you don't necessarily – I think some people think they have to do something massive or they have to send out hundreds of these. I know one distributorship down in North Carolina, they're small, and they did I think they had like six or seven clients that they were – or not clients, targets that they were like, wow, we really want to work with this with these guys. And they did – they pooled the resources they had to do a nice direct mailer mm-hmm. to them, like chunky mail, you know. And I think they ended up getting like three. So that's like –
that's great. That's
50% works.
Yeah, it's like insanely good.
No,
so
that's
like,
very smart though that they chose seven to target and then just wow them. Pour your resources into that and mm-hmm. wow those seven.
Yeah, targeted promotions are definitely a way to go, especially when you're on a budget. All right, Jill, thanks very much for the call, and hang on the line so we can get your information. Let's go to line five, and we have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Very good. How are you guys? And happy sixth anniversary.
Okay. We're doing good. Thanks very much. You missed our cake last week.
I know, but I had my own. Okay.
So. Good to hear. All right, Stanley, what do you know about self promos?
Well, I find that the self promos that I give out are things that I find cool because, you know, if I give out something that I like, typically my customers, you know, at least they know I'm being authentic. I'm not going to have them give out something that I wouldn't give out myself. But what I've been doing lately is I've been using my vendors and having my vendors help me with just keeping my name out there by putting things on the boxes and putting things inside the boxes. Like the last order I just did of T-shirts, we put a sheet in the bottom saying, you know, thanks for all your business. You know, call us for a reorder and things like that that help us have like somewhat of a self-promotion feel on real orders. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I got from an idea from another distributor was we did an order of shirts, and in the order of shirts, we threw in a different sample of a different type of shirt with the client's logo on it and then attached a card saying, you know, like a little self-promotion card. And it kind of like brought the idea of self-promotions into live orders.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting. I hadn't heard of that before.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did it work? Did people inquire about those additional products?
Yeah, they did. And especially because we had the one piece polybagged and folded. Mm-hmm. And what I found was, you know, we always talk about the experience our customers are going to give their end users, but we pay very little attention to the experience that our vendors are helping us give the experience to our customers to remember our name. And it's just been really fun. I love the microfiber cloths. I got that idea from a distributor. Mm-hmm. We have a group that really shares a lot of ideas between us. And so we did microfiber cloths, and we put the actual microfiber cloth now in every T-shirt order so that it kind of goes along with, it's like an added gift, you know? Yeah. And they got the idea from the cosmetic industry that always gives out mm-hmm. gifts with purchase.
Right.
So just kind of something to kind of liven their opening of something they just paid for. They get something included, and it seems to work really well. But the stickers on the outside of the box really gets our phones ringing because people see the boxes in their closets, the employees. They don't look up invoices. They look at the boxes, and that's really seemed to work really, really well.
Very cool. All right, Stanley, thanks for the idea. Very good idea. Thanks for giving us a call.
Have fun at SAC next week, Stanley.
Oh, are you guys coming out?
We will have people there from ASI, but the editors won't be there.
We're stuck at home.
No.
Your favorites won't be there.
They cut our travel budget.
All right, Stanley.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon. Right. Thanks very much for the call. All right, we're going to go to our to a commercial right now to hear from our show sponsor, Hanes. But when we get back, we will continue the conversation about self-promos.
Have you outgrown your current order management software? ASI Computer Systems and ASI SmartBooks.
HanesInc.com features detailed product information and resources to help you make the most of Hanes t-shirts and fleece. For the first time, you can download high-res front and back hollows of every product in every color in the format and resolution you need. Apparel pages are organized by color and product line, so you can easily find exactly what you're looking for. In addition to high-res hollows, you will also find helpful sales tips on every product page. Each product is assigned a helpful return on investment scenario to illustrate the untapped return potential for you and your customers in every interaction. In our resources section, a dedicated return on investment page provides additional questions and insight to help you better understand how to meet your customers' needs with better products and better guidance. Visit HanesInc.com today for high-res hollows, sales tips, and many more resources.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday morning show.
We had a lot of electrical storms in the area recently, so we're having some technical difficulties.
Well,
we're all a little lightning fried. So, yeah.
It's all right, I'm having some trouble speaking. There's that. Yeah. We're talking self-promos this morning, and we have had a lot of chatter about it on our Facebook page. Isn't that right, Michelle?
Yeah, we have tons of comments. We have Ryan Shade, who said, I've had success with the missing piece promotion. And what that is a direct mail where he sends one half of a self-promotion campaign. So, for example, a travel mug lid, a dry erase marker, and he has them contact him to get the other half. So if they contact, they get the full mug and then the dry erase board.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah. Judy like Brown that. Says she's had great success, believe it or not, with wooden back scratchers. Not only did we get orders for that product.
You do?
But it's the item that people tell them that they love the most.
I love them.
Their clients. Yep.
Is it like around the concept of I'll scratch it?
Well, that's interesting copy that you could tie into it. Lori O'Shea from Motivator says that they send promotional Band-Aids in a little packet that they imprint on the front because people, you know, in offices, they get paper cuts. Mm. And when they go to reach for a Band-Aid, there it is on the case with the Motivator's logo.
I like that
Workers
idea.
Comp.
Yep. And then here's Danielle Lum saying, you know, it's not sure if it qualifies as a self-promotion campaign. I would say yes, that it does. But they hold a company birthday party every year. And I would say that qualify
definitely.
As self-promotion, even though it's not traditional lumpy mail.
Mm-hmm.
David Garthwaite says that a local radio station does a remote broadcast, and he supplies the T-shirts for free, but they put their logo on the T-shirt, so it gets them lots of brand exposure. And Chris Clark says, mine is simple but effective. I buy hundreds of self-promo ink pens from my favorite vendor and give them away to my clients, but he leaves a lot behind in dozens of restaurants, accounting firms, law offices, pretty much any place where pens are highly welcome because he's getting name recognition. Mm-hmm. So he's leaving behind the pens with his contact information.
Yeah, that's a
great
idea, too.
Very cool. I like it. All right, if you want to add your comments, you can go to our Facebook page, our ASI Central Facebook page. Make sure to check that out, or you can find it online at asicentral.com. All right, Michelle, here is the topic that we're all wondering. Are you a boss from hell?
Yes.
Well, you and I, are people who report to us are not in this room, but Kathy Houston's on the hot seat. Chris reports to Kathy. So there are six bosses from hell, according to a study that CNN Money did. And really what this stresses is the importance of, you know, typically bosses are the ones who review their employees. But on every day, employees are reviewing their bosses as well, mentally and, you know, kind of taking.
Usually not in such kind ways.
So here are the three worst case scenarios for bosses. And I'm all, sorry, there's six. I'm going to read three. Number one is the spineless suck up. And Chris, feel free to chime in if Kathy is anyone.
Yeah, definitely.
The spineless suck up. This special breed.
That's not Kathy.
No. These are all-around jerks to the employees while being absolute angels to their superiors. If they so much as sniff potential displeasure with the C-suite, the CEO and the CFO, in your work, they will throw you under the bus. They can't resist political pressure from above, cave immediately, and fail to defend their employees. Just saying. Anybody? No, we're not talking about you. The next is Jekyll and Hyde. Readers, the response to the survey said they were exceptionally down on managers who showed favoritism and applied blatant double standards. The truly rotten boss had a few favorites and treated the others really poorly.
Now, let me just chime in on that one a little bit.
Okay, Dr. Jekyll. Or are you Mr. Hyde?
Whatever the contrarian one is. While playing favorites is not good, there are some double standards in workplaces that people are going to have to accept. There are some people
are
not.
Give us an example.
Some people might have different schedules. Some people might have worked out different schedules that they don't necessarily, that other people might like too, but they didn't work that out initially. There might be different assignments that are given. Some people might feel like, you know, hey, only those people are getting the plum assignments. You know, I'm not. Well, maybe you need to work harder to get those assignments.
To that point, too.
I think there are just some different types of double standard might be the wrong word, but treatment to employees, yeah. It's not always equal. It's just not, and that's it wouldn't be reality, I think, if every single person was treated exactly the same
workplace. Everybody doesn't know everybody else's specific assignments what they're working on.
That's right, although they think they do.
They do,
yeah,
right.
They definitely do. So I agree with the sentiment of that. Any kind of, you know, real double standard or if you really hold favorites, that none of those things are good. But I think from an employee perspective, people should understand that there's some just different treatments of employees, and that's just reality.
Mm-hmm. So the last one I'm going to read, is this anyone we know, is the control freak on steroids.
You?
Yeah. No, I'd be the one I didn't read, the raging narcissist. We're going to skip that one. These charmers serve up a large helping of egomania with a side of mean. That's definitely me. So the control freak on steroids is way too much involved and drives employees nuts, and special ire was reserved for the micromanager.
Well then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because what that said to employees on a daily basis is that manager did not trust them to make decisions.
I think you're dumb, right. Yeah. But I can't do all this myself, so I want you to get it halfway there so then I could redo it.
And I think we find that really productive workplaces just don't have that kind of culture, have that micromanaging type of culture.
True.
And ones that do gets kind of mired in bureaucracy and red tape and needing everything to be approved, and that's not the way to go. So don't do that. Isn't that right, Michelle?
Yes.
Chris, was I any of those things?
No.
Thank you. You can get your phone afterwards.
There's plenty of other things. I know. Just not those things.
Whatever do you mean?
All right. We will post all of those fantastic ideas onto our website at asicentral.com/radio. Okay. So we said that those were not ways to become productive. So, Kathy, what are some ways to increase productivity in the workplace?
All right. Well, speaking of different schedules and stuff, it's important to enhance the ways your workers can work by allowing them access to work resources that include both data and their coworkers, that include reaching both data and their coworkers through technology. So, for example, if you have people that work remote, they should be able to easily connect and engage. Actually, all employees can work remotely these days from time to time.
Most.
So, yeah. I mean, so you
should. I don't think all can, though.
Yeah, not all.
Like Joe and Joan couldn't because of what they do.
Well, Joan does sometimes, yeah. But they should be able to easily connect and engage from anywhere through platforms such as audio, video conferencing, online meeting forums, and secure Wi-Fi connections. Okay, once your workers can access all work-related resources easily, it's time to focus on the whole person, including their health and well-being. This is a good one because you were talking about one of those best places to work places, mm-hmm. offering free health care.
Yep.
Yeah, that's excellent. And it's a quickly rising trend in the workforce. So trying to create spaces that force workers to get up and move, to engage other employees, access amenities, and socialize. This will all result in healthier and more productive employees. And then finally, on that kind of same note, the workspace should offer ergonomically designed spaces and high indoor air quality.
What?
Do you want to share what you called this a little while ago?
No.
High indoor air quality. All right.
Yes. So obviously employees are more productive when they feel their environment is healthy and supports the community in which they live. So it has to be sustainable too.
Very cool. We will post those tips to our website at asicentral.com/radio. Okay, Chris, we teased this in the beginning. Some things that will prevent someone from actually doing business with you. What do you know?
All right, I know we're low on time, so I'll give you the quick version. Name dropping. It's obnoxious.
It is obnoxious.
Don't just think, Michael Jordan's my friend. You know, like it's going to make you seem like you're.
Because I love Michael Bernstein. Michael Bernstein. Oh, my God.
Next one should be pretty obvious. Is don't overpromise and underdeliver. Make real expectations and be honest in that regard.
Yeah, Kathy.
You know, don't talk too much about yourself. We hear this over and over again in the age of consultative selling. You want to listen more and talk less. It's not about pushing product. It's about understanding a need and meeting that. Another thing, I mean, this would seem self-evident to me, but people do it. It's lying. You don't want to lie because people's barometers for BS are pretty good these days, and they're going to – even if they don't catch on to you right away, eventually it's going to come to bite you.
Literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing is you want to show that you value people's time. We all know we're insanely busy nowadays, and if you're not on time for a meeting or you're not prepared, that's going to make a really awful impression. don't overemphasize sales in social settings. So you're at a networking event or you're,
yes.
or you don't want to go immediately to, hey, my name's Joe. What can I sell you? It's
right.
just, you know,
no,
you
ask what people are doing. What do they do? What's their business?
It's going to come about organically anyway, yeah. if they have a need for what you do and you're not a jerk. So
right.
there you go.
Behaving inappropriately. And by this would be, you know, it's tough at first when you have the formalities going, but you need to maintain that at least initially for a little while. You don't want to be overly stiff, but if you're going right to like, dude, I was loaded last night, and you know that kind of stuff. It's like it's too fast. You know, like,
that would pique my interest.
You know,
I just like Chris's impression.
Well, this mentions tequila shots. So anyhow, another thing is acting like a know-it-all. Sometimes it could actually be very powerful to say, hey, I don't know, but let me see if I could find out. Or, hey, I don't know exactly what would work for you, but let's talk more so we could find out. Because mm-hmm. it shows actual interest, and it shows that, in a way, it almost reflects better on when you say, hey, I do know this, and I know it'll work. It gives that credibility.
All right.
And then lastly, don't use poor grammar. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
Because it just comes off
smart.
As like I mean, you don't have to drop words like superfluous or something like that all the time, but you'd want to just use proper grammar and seem like, you know, you're not didn't just walk off the street.
Nice. Yeah. All right. We'll check out those tips and more on our website at asicentral.com/radio. Okay, we have just enough time for our favorite things. I'll lead us off. Mine is a portable power charger, which we talked about actually. Oh, is yours too? Oh, my. I wonder if it's the same one. Mine is a small one, which is a like keychain swivel. So normally these things are kind of bulky. This one is actually quite small. It comes from Innovation Line, which is ASI 62660. Kathy, why don't you go since
All
you
right.
have one too.
Well, mine is a little twist. It's an illuminated power bank from Dart Products, ASI 48500. And they will waive the setup fee for a one color, one location imprint. Powers everything like tablets, phones, cameras, etc. And it also works as a phone stand and comes gift box. So think of it for holiday promos.
Very good. Chris, do you have one for today?
I do, yeah. Right. The Solstice Jacket. It's on product number F7260 from Tri-Mountain, ASI 92125. It's basically like a great fall jacket. It's you could wear it to the office or you could wear it out on a little hike. It's got this technology to warm you up, cool you down. Check it out. It's cool.
Warm you up and cool you down. All right. Michelle, you get the last word.
Yep. I have these really cool neon mugs from Numa Manufacturing just because I like Numa Manufacturing after listening to them at the Best Places to Work conference.
Yep.
ASI 74710, numomfg.com, and they'll be on our website.
All right. Check out those products and more on our website at asicentral.com/radio. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but thanks for listening. And thanks to our show sponsor, Hanes. And check us out next week, everybody. Have a good week.